But let's go to our phone line driven by Will St. County.
You didn't even acknowledge the Orange Juice's Juice Jones's presence there? Coming up, you didn't let that breathe at all, Adam.
I'm sorry. We've got a guest on our phone line driven by Wilson County.
I'll bet you TD knows about it.
All right, let's ask Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us on our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Are you a fan of that song, Teron?
Absolutely. I love the part where he said, I bought you stuff you couldn't even pronounce. he said, you silly rabbit.
Tricks are for kids.
All right. I'm sorry.
There's never been a song before or since quite like that one.
No.
The video, man, when he told her she was dismissed and the way he did it. Hilarious.
Teron, one thing that the Titans hope isn't hilarious to all of us this season is the special teams unit. We were just talking about Bones Fossil and how that special teams unit, if it can be respectable, it could help the Titans significantly from a year ago. Based on what you've been able to gather and talking to Bones Fossil and to some of the other players who are on the special teams unit, are there any changes, any nuances to how Fossil approaches special teams versus the previous coaches that could help the Titans moving forward?
Yeah, he's very detailed, and the energy is crazy. That's the thing that I really picked up, man. I love his energy, and like he's on top of the guys, just motivating them, and the details are there. But, I've seen two practices, so, like, take that for what it's worth. I can't give you, like, any changes as far as, like, scheme or anything like that, but you could definitely tell that, you know, there's a lot of attention to it. And I would be surprised if special teams isn't remarkably better.
Well, let me ask you about the change at punter. Ryan Stonehouse is out. Johnny Hecker is in. Is there a way that Hecker approaches punting that is different than Stonehouse that could help the Titans?
Well, I know Hecker is better as far as a locational, like coffin corner, like those types of things. I know he's better there. Stonehouse, he has a boot, you know, and he puts that thing out there. Sometimes he did outkick the coverage. I just think really more than the punter, it's going to be the coverage unit. Like they have to make sure that part is together. And if that's together, then they'll be fine.
So mandatory minicamp is about to begin this week. All eyes, I'm sure, will be on Jeffrey Simmons, who did not participate in the voluntary OTAs. And yes, we know that they are voluntary. I'm curious how you think Jeffrey Simmons is going to handle questions about his absence and voluntary OTAs. What do you think he'll say, and how do you think he should respond to maybe lower the temperature for those who were upset by his absence, at least not in the building, but outside the building?
Yeah, well, one thing that you could say about Jeffrey Simmons is he always stands up and he faces the music, right? That was the guy after losses every week, you know, we're in the locker room and waiting for him, and he'll turn around and see us and be like, all right, let's go. You know, so I think when you look at how he's going to face the music, really the best thing for him is to get it out of the way. You know, hey, I was away. This is what I worked on. This is what my goal was for games this off season. And now that I'm back, I'm all in, like something along those lines. And I think that's what he's going to say. He's a leader. He's one of the leaders of those eight teams that they have broken into. And I wouldn't expect nothing less than him being accountable for, you know, not being there and just giving an explanation and moving on.
Now, Teron, how do you think they approach, now that they are in their phase of training, you know, camp where it's mandatory? Because, you know, during voluntary camp, you can kind of, you know, with the quarterbacks, you can kind of do whatever you want. You know, yeah, you're going first, you're going second. I get it. But as the days start dwindling down, when you have less and less of these days to be together as a team, how do you think their approach now, the play or the, you know, the reps with Will Levis and Cam Ward? Because, again, you don't have many days to just play with here.
Yeah, that's a good point. They started to tweak it, in my opinion, last week because when I was watching, Cam Ward had like maybe five reps. Mm-hmm. And then Levis came in for three, and then Cam came right back in. So, to me, they kind of started redistributing it, and I think it's understandable that Cam Ward gets as much reps as possible because we know he's going to start, mm-hmm. right? And so they're going to start getting him geared up. But the good thing is, you know, in talking to Cam on the side, you know, he was kind of telling me how he gets those mental reps too. You know, and that's something that will also help him when he's not out there on the field getting the mental reps and talking through it with the other, you know, receivers and even the other quarterbacks. So I would imagine it's going to start to skew even more in Cam's favor to get him more and more reps.
Now, what do you think the battle will be like for that second receiver spot? I know we can throw three or four guys in there, and it seems like possibly Van Jefferson may be at the top at this particular moment. But how do you see that playing out for that second wide receiver position? Because you got like three or four guys that can actually step into that role.
Yeah, no.
Outside of Lockett, because I see Lockett as their slot guy, their third guy.
Right.
But exactly. I'm saying a bona fide number two guy.
Yeah, I think Alec Iomanner is a good candidate for that, for that X spot. Bryce Oliver could play it too. So it's going to be, you know, you got Colton Dow even, Prochet. So there's a lot of guys that are compete for it. I think ideally that's a position that Iomanner wins and gives them, you know, that vertical guy, that on-the-ball receiver that could stretch the field and do some of the things, you know, the back shoulders, throws and all of that. So I would imagine Iomanner. But, I mean, look, like Traylon Burks, we'll see. You know, what happens with him is he continues to get worked into there. So there's so many candidates for that spot. Ideally, Iomanner wins that.
So, Teron, you just said something that caught my attention. Do we feel like Traylon Burks will be out there day in and day out in the offseason, in training camp? Because there's been no talk of him, right? Everybody has sort of swept him aside as, okay, we're moving on to the next thing. But he's still there. So is he healthy?
No, he's not fully healthy. He's still working his way back. You could tell he still also has to get into better shape too, which is understandable. You know, your knee's messed up. Like, you can't really exercise and do the things that you normally do. So it's going to be a journey for him. I would imagine maybe training camp. I don't know. But, I mean, just judging by, like, seeing him during individual period, like he's doing all those drills and the ladder work and all of that. So I would imagine he's close, and I would think training camp he'll be back.
Okay, I'm going to wave a magic wand, and I'm going to tell you, Teron, that next year the same five offensive linemen that are scheduled to be the offensive linemen to start this year are back next year. In other words, they have continuity for the first time, and I don't know how long, same five guys. What would that mean for the Titans?
Oh, that would mean a lot. It would be the first time in a long time, like you said. I mean, what, maybe 4 years or so, like since they had set continuity. So, yeah, it would be important. But I think Kevin Zeitler is one that I will see if he's back next. He's on a 1 year deal. We'll see if he's back, but I know him being here this year is going to be major for them.
Just before I send it back to the crew, LGM is in order here.
Yes, absolutely.
Mets back in first place. Phils and Braves struggling, trying to take advantage of this there. TD, let's get a little breathing room here.
Yeah. I mean, look, what is it? 18 games over 500. Now, granted, he got to beat up on the Rockies, so that helped. But, yeah, I mean, Ronnie Mauricio, he hit a 465-footer. You know, we could shift this to some Mets talk. Absolutely, man. I would gladly do that.
Hey, man, listen, y'all are all right. Y'all know Tigers, but y'all are all right, you know?
You crazy.
D-Mace, I'm surprised this is the first time you're bringing them up. I mean, they're unbelievable.
I'm just saying.
You need to get on that bandwagon and start watching and start, you know, bringing it.
I mean, y'all
start
are
singing
high,
the praises.
But y'all know Tigers, you know, Mets. I mean,
for those that are casual baseball fans who haven't paid attention, the Tigers have the best record in baseball.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
So there you go, man. I'm gonna be humble about mine. You know, I'm just gonna be humble about it. You know?
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us on D-Mace, Fink, and Adonic, as he does every Monday. TD, great stuff as always.
Adam, not chiming in on the Nats.
No.
Why would he?
He said, we're talking baseball. I'm going to end it on that note. But about Nate Frazier, man, the intro music was on point, man. It's raining, and I saw you walking in the rain. Like, that's, yeah.
Well, you can thank Nick Frazier for that one. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. All right. We'll talk next week.
For sure. Take care.